At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
So yeah, I could not be a drug mule. Too forgetful.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
They won't let him. All right, welcome back. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, John and Lance live at Golden Nugget Lake Charles DraftKings Sportsbook. We were just watching the NFL Network, and we saw Jane Slater on there. And here she is, live and in person on
That's
our
the
show.
Magic of technology.
That is it, technologically magical. Jane Slater, welcome to the show, NFL Network, with us here to talk about this Cowboys trade. Jane, we just had a Cowboy fan on, and he called him America's crappy team because he's a Cowboy fan, and he's about sick of this. You just been on NFL Network explaining the Cowboys side of this thing. What is the Cowboys side of this thing? How do they explain this?
Oh, God, there's so many layers. How much time do we have, guys?
We got hours. Don't worry about it.
Yes, there are so many layers to this thing. Ultimately, here's what happened. Back in March, Jerry says that Micah reached out to him when he got back from his overseas trip and wanted to have a conversation with him. Micah disputes that. Micah said they called him and wanted to have a meeting about leadership. Okay, so there's a lot of he said, she said here. So walk with me here. Stay with me. So Micah comes in the next day after Jerry says he wanted him to get some sleep. He comes in, and the allegation is that for 2 days, they got deep into negotiations. This wasn't just a let's talk about what we think it should look like. It was APY, it was guarantees, etc. Micah then calls back a second day and makes some more requests. Jerry alleges that they moved off of some of the spots that they weren't going to move off of, but they felt good about it. So the natural move next, for any of us that have done contracts, you know this, you then get your agent involved, and then they take it to legal, and then you redline it. And there's still a process. That didn't happen here. For whatever reason, Jerry alleges that they had already, in good faith, reached a deal over the course of several days. They didn't want to go through the negotiations again and include a third person, the third person being David Mulligetta, the agent. Jerry has also argued that Mulligetta, when called, said that don't even bother, we're not talking till we're the last edge rusher at the table. Okay? So then there was all this talk about, well, did they violate the NFLPA, the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement? Well, Jerry's side will tell you, no, we didn't, because the minute he said he wanted representation, we backed off. So then everyone said, well, then if Mulligetta kept trying to get a deal done, why wasn't it done? I don't know. Jerry then last night alleges that they've been talking about this idea of trading him since the spring. So then there was pushback from the reporters. Well, you had the conversation with them at the end of March. The end of April was the draft. Micah and his agent did say, if we're not going to get this deal done, go ahead and trade us. They knew that that was a possibility. They didn't do it. They knew that they needed help on the interior of the defensive line. They didn't do it. So they waited all the way until we get to this week. And I truly believe there were conversations within the building within the last 2 years about frustrations with Micah. And the frustrations are, I say frustrations because it's not like it's off the field stuff that we've seen with other players. And, you know, I almost feel like they have a higher tolerance for that. This was more of a player who would say one thing in front of the cameras, you know, I want to be a leader, I'm going to be here in the off season, blah, blah, blah. And then he wouldn't. And then this was a player, he said he didn't want to be paid the highest edge rusher. And then he asked that. Well, to be fair, he said that last year when he was hoping to get a deal done early, which would have been a lot cheaper for the Cowboys last summer. So then it got to a point where they get now, after that laying on the training table incident, there have been people in the building who had been saying, this is a guy who is distracted, who will float in and out of meeting rooms. You can't keep him focused. There was even a question. One coach said they didn't think he loved football enough. They thought he liked the star on the helmet, not the process of football enough. And it sounds like the people in the building ultimately sat Jerry down, specifically when it leaked that they had filed a grievance against the Cowboys, a dispute of $2 million between what a defensive end should be paid this year versus a linebacker. And then he was spotted at the airport looking for a second opinion on the back. And the insinuation there was he was prepared to sit out games, and then it was going to be a legal process with the grievances. And I truly believe at that point, and then once it started leaking, you know, from wherever the leaks came, that the Packers were highly interested. The Cowboys claimed there were at least 15 teams that they had to seriously consider. They weren't going to do it with someone in the division, so no Eagles, Giants, Commanders. They were asked why the Packers, who have handed them three devastating defeats in the last, you know, decade or so, they said, well, ultimately, we were looking for an interior defensive lineman. We were looking for somebody who had the cap space. We were looking for someone who had the trade capital. And we were ultimately going to play some of these teams on our list at some point. So that became moot for them. So the Packers, being as highly motivated as they were, who were going to pay Micah what he sought, and that were ready to be aggressive and give them a player like Kenny Clark, was ultimately why they pulled the trigger on this. But I think frustrating, the final layer here, was Micah said that he and his agent went to Jerry this week after the trade interest started to leak and wanted to do a deal, and Jerry told him, play on the fifth-year option or leave. And so Micah feels manipulated. He feels taken advantage of. When it came out that the locker room, I was told they went to players and they went to the coaching staff, and they were like, do what you got to do. I think Micah realized he wanted to go somewhere where he was celebrated more, and the Cowboys realized, hey, we're getting something that could have been nothing at this point. So it's a lot. Took me a long time to land the plane, but I think there's a lot of moving pieces here and nuance to people going, why would the Cowboys, who have not made a trade since Herschel Walker, trade away their greatest player in this generation for two first-round picks and a guy that might be here for a year at 30, who's coming off of a foot injury, even though he's a three-time Pro Bowler? Now, Lance, you've looked at the tape. I've talked to people. Yes. Kenny still got pop. They like the idea of him with Osa Odighizuwa. They feel like they have depth at defensive ends. As Steven put it last night, you can scheme against the pass. You can't scheme against the run. When you look at the game against the Eagles last year in Week 17, they gave up 179 yards on the ground. They were averaging 4 yards a pop. You're going to see Saquon Barkley twice this year. Commanders have gotten better. The Giants have gotten better. They were giving up 137 yards on the ground. They had to fix that position. My whole argument is I'm fine with the trade. I think they should have done it 2 years ago. I think with a new coaching staff, and some of the stuff that was lingering from, you know, being on expiring contracts with the coaching staff last year, it wasn't helpful for the team and the culture. I think you ultimately had to move on. It's just, I would submit that if it wasn't someone, if it was a GM, like let's say Nick Caserio, who's not as personally invested in the players or emotionally invested, they probably would have made that trade sooner.
Do you think, Jane Slater joins us from NFL Network talking about the Micah Parsons trade. Did you, ultimately, you know, I wonder if that fifth year, obviously it's much more complicated listening to you. It's much more complicated than some of the simple stuff that I thought it might be. So there may not be an easy answer here. But do you think if Jerry had given in on a fifth year that things could have gotten done? And I ask that because I wonder if at some point Jerry said, wait a minute, We're giving in. This is supposed to be give and take. And David Mulgeta, you don't want to play the give and take game. And maybe the ego got in the way. Or he just said, look, it's just not a fair and equitable deal. You're not negotiating in good faith. Do you think that fifth year was something that could have triggered this the other way and the Cowboys sign him?
I think that ultimately what frustrated Jerry was that people in the building had been saying, be careful with how he says one thing and does another. And when they say that, it's you're about to spend a whole bunch of money on this player, and you're going to lock in for 5 more years with this guy. He's already saying one thing and doing another. Do we want to lock in and commit to this player moving forward? And furthermore, how many players truly live up to their extensions? Now, I think Micah is going to do just fine. I think he is going to use this as fuel in Green Bay. I think his familiarity with Jordan Love is a good thing. I think when you look at some of the guys he's going to be playing alongside in that defense, this is a good thing. And I also think the amount, I'll never forget when Randall Cobb came here, he said, man, this is like playoff media. I mean, you should see the amount of credentialed media in Dallas day in and day out. And then after the game, the way everyone crowds around Jerry. And Micah loves the microphone as much as Jerry does. And so I don't think Jerry loved, as much as it gives him headlines, I don't think he loved how much he managed his message sometimes. You know, and I will say this about Micah. He is a unique player. It reminds me of when I watched the 90s Cowboys and players just said whatever was on their mind. These days, they're so much more media trained. They're so much savvier. Micah continued to stay raw in his time in Dallas. As a reporter, I loved it. I loved that I could call him up and be like, is this true or not? And he would say, true or not true. Not many players are doing that. So I appreciated that about him. But you know, it was almost kind of like when Jimmy managed his own message in Dallas. It's just extreme hubris is what I said. Hubris on both sides. And so I think ultimately the more Jerry started thinking about it and the posturing, I think if Micah had not been at camp, in other words, if he had done what Zeke did, go away to Cabo. But the fact that there's all these pictures of Jerry up in the tower and Micah standing there under the tower, or, you know, he's got the jersey over his shoulder at camp, it just started to really wear, I think, on teammates and everyone. And also being like, come on, man, like Dak played what showed up to camp. He handled his business. CeeDee Lamb wasn't at camp, but he was, you know, he was practicing somewhere else and, you know, ultimately didn't say much on this thing. And I just think all of those things contributed to where we got. I think it just got so messy in the end.
Jane Slater, NFL Network, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did they get enough for him? Who won the trade?
I think history will be the judge of that. I mean, if you watch The Gambler, which is a great, if you really want to know the psychology of Jerry, I didn't want to watch it. I've covered this team for 10 years, the network, 14 as a reporter, and then I grew up here in Dallas. You know, I'm very familiar with a lot of the stories. There wasn't much that surprised me in the documentary, but it was a nice refresher about what went down with the Herschel Walker trade and the reaction in Dallas. But you have to remember, when the Herschel Walker trade went down, that team was so bad. And you got a new coach, and you had to reset. I think the problem people have in Dallas is, you know, this team went out and got George Pickens. I think they felt good about a number of the players that Eberflus was putting together, and they were really stacking the defensive line. But I just think that they could have gotten more for it. And then I think, you know, the debate is, too, most of the Packers' first-round picks have been in the low 20s. Some would argue, well, how many guys are on your draft board, you know, 1 through 20? You know, and then Jerry said last night, and, you know, look, they're moving differently these days. Just like he teased after the draft that they could make a trade for a player, and we were all shocked they went out and got George Pickens, he teased last night they could still go out and trade for something using those picks, and that they do have 4 first-rounders in the next 2 years that they can get creative with. I think the problem a lot of fans have is now you have all of this cap space. Now you have these draft picks. You've had that in the past. What have you done with it? And so I think there's just a reluctance to believe that the Cowboys will turn this into something, but they have gotten lucky in recent years. I mean, think about CeeDee Lamb falling to them, Micah Parsons. So I guess they can catch lightning in a bottle. We'll see. Herschel Walker was judged at the time as being horrible. And then, you know, it took 2 years and then the Cowboys turned it around. But I just
the great trades of all time.
Yeah.
Right, but I do think Jerry, but that was also a generational haul. I mean, that was five players that he cut,
yeah.
And then they ended up getting players. That didn't happen here, and I think you could have had that happen if you'd done this last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah. As Jane Slater from the NFL Network, embedded there with the Dallas Cowboys, so knows the scoop, and always a great source for me when it comes to Dallas Cowboy information. Jane, thank you so much for your work on this story and taking the time to lay it all out for us. There's a lot, as you said, there's a lot of moving pieces. It's everyone thinks it's just simple, just pay him, Jerry. It always is deeper than that. There's a lot more that Jerry should have done better, didn't do well. Was the when was it discussed? There's always he said and she says in this thing. And
but Lance,
so I knew
Lance,
it wasn't
go,
just
I don't,
that
no,
clear.
I don't know if we're up against this, but I do think this is an important piece of this. When
when
people say, "Well, the Cowboys could have gotten more," and I'm one of them, I don't know if this draft this year wowed people, right? But there is a lot of talk about the 2026 draft and the 2027 draft. Could you see the Cowboys actually getting creative and getting a, I know the big thing out there, and look, I'm a Texas fan. I was getting my Arch Manning jersey when this broke yesterday. I mean, is that a real possibility? Do you have faith in the Cowboys that they could pull something like that?
I would have
off?
Held, look, I would have, you're going to have a pick in the 20s more than likely for 2 years in a row because he got traded to a good team. Malgetta wouldn't have let you trade him to a team that wasn't a contending team and didn't have, and they would have, they already agreed to the money, obviously. So
yeah.
What I would have done is held on to him during the year. He either gets paid or he doesn't get paid. He holds in. I know they don't like that's a big pain in the ass. There's going to be a lot of drama. But to me, I want all 31 other teams to be considering Parsons with all their money opening up in the offseason like it always does and have the draft waiting right in front of you. If I'm the Cowboys, I don't take two firsts that are probably going to be in the 20s. I would have just waited until next year, dealt with it this year, and then opened up the bidding for Micah Parsons when there were more teams that would have been involved. That's what I would have done based on what they got. They got – on paper, it's not bad. Kenny Clark's a good player. It's a big need for Dallas. But I just think that you get first-round picks for an elite pass rusher, you better make sure they're as high as possible. And that's what the Houston Texans got with the Cleveland Browns on the Deshaun deal. But, you know, it's easier said than done because we don't deal with the circus here in Houston that you do in Dallas. So, you know, it's a lot different just saying, oh, you just wait it out. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Micah Parsons is not a shrinking violet either. He'll let you know that it's, you know, I think it would have gotten him. David Mulgetta there also involved in all that. You know, it would have been messy this year, that's for sure.
On the flip side, I really enjoy covering the Texans, and D'Amico Ryans is so amazing. I had such a great time down there. I really enjoy getting to know Hannah McNair a little bit better. So maybe if the Cowboys are having a tough season, I'll see you guys down in the AFC a little bit more.
Yeah, come on down.
Come
you always got a spot on this show.
That's great.
Let us know. We got we know the restaurants and the bars. We'll make sure to take care of you.
Jane, thank you for joining us, Jane. We appreciate it.
Of course. Bye, guys.
Jane Slater right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. I mean, she's got insight that people just don't have. If you missed her on NFL Network, you got her. Right here.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, a lot going on. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Time for you to talk a little Craig DeSerf.
I'll talk about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They are the difference makers when it comes to selling cars. There's a lot of places you can go for the Chevy, the Buick, the GMC. I understand that, and I understand that. So what differentiates Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC from everyone else? I'll tell you what it is. The highest value for your trade-in. They offer unbelievable customer service, meaning they don't sit and hassle you or hustle you when it comes to the car buying experience. They let you do what you're going to do. They're there to simply answer your questions, give you information about the vehicles you're looking at, things of that nature. And they really do work hard to find a deal that's right for you, whether it's a purchase or at least they're honest with you. They'll say, hey, why don't you wait until next week or next month? Let's see what happens with the national rates. Let's see where, you know, if Chevy's offering a new finance rate, a new special that's coming up next month. They're extremely honest with you, and that's what you appreciate when you're buying a vehicle because you want to be able to have a dealership that you can trust to buy your vehicle now, to buy one in the future, to tell your neighbors and your parents and your, you know, your kids about and your friends from work. That's the difference with Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They really are a forever dealership. Located in Angleton, just a few extra mile drive for you, can save a few extra thousands in your pocket. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You're listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yep, the man has it right. That's where we are. We got a good hour and a half left in this show, so glad you could join us. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. What'd you think of the Astros' win? A bomb, well, his second of the game, Christian Walker, hit one to right in the first and then took one out to left in the eighth last night. That was what the what? It got there. Well, it was high. And Yeah, you think it was a mistake.
Hey, that's nice. Probably surprised. Hey, look at that. A home run.
Well, that's neat. No,
I can't hear you at all.
Let's see.
There I can
it
hear.
Is.
There,
there
can
it
hear
is. All right. I think it was more of a mistake by Christian Walker. Like, you know, I'll take it. It counts the same.
I'm sorry. When was the last time you hit a ball over 330 feet?
When is the last time you did that?
Yeah,
last time I played a baseball video game. But as far as Christian Walker is concerned, the home runs all count the same, but we got to have levels. That's like, I'm glad it got over the fence.
Yeah, that's all right. And when you hit one in the Crawford boxes, you bloop one in, it got out. I know it's a home run in one place and one place only, but it's still a home run.
That's
Thank
right.
You. That's true. Good night. And the Astros win, dominate the series, 2-1, destroying all Colorado's hopes and dreams of a great season. Okay? They're done. I think the Astros put them away.
Well, they were eliminated before they even walked.
Yeah, but still, I think they after that 6-1 win, they felt like
I'm going to say
now all of a sudden we're back.
The Rockies actually feel pretty good about themselves. In fact, if you go by the actual run scored, who won the series?
Well, but that doesn't matter anymore.
No, total runs. Who won the series?
The Astros actually lost ground in there.
Yes, in run differential.
In run differential.
Yes.
Yeah. We got who's on the line? Wants to talk Clemson?
Brad.
I like to call it Clemson, okay?
They don't like it when you call it Clemson.
I don't care about what they think because LSU's playing them this week, and right. Clemson sucks and better watch themselves, okay? All right, calling themselves Death Valley. Get out of here with that. You ain't Death Valley. Death Valley is in Baton Rouge. What's up?
Hey, guys. John, I know you follow LSU relatively closely. I'm not sure how closely you followed the suspension of A.J. Halsey, but apparently the story is his unsportsmanlike conduct got upgraded to a suspension a month and a half after the season. LSU was unaware of it. He was unaware of it. And then Clemson alerted the NCAA and made them aware of it. I wanted to get your thoughts.
I'm unaware. You're surprising me with this story. I don't know what it is.
I'll look it up, John. Yeah. We'll figure out what
Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I had not heard. Oh, it's A.J. Halsey. He's one of their safeties, and Clemson apparently, according to Brad, let NCAA know, hey, this guy shouldn't be available for the first half, and now he won't be available for the first
half.
Well,
if he wasn't going to be available because he was suspended, then why did they think he was going to play? Or was LSU just going to ignore it?
I don't know. But the news came down yesterday that this is official. He was in a fight last year, but he transferred from a different place.
Okay.
So I guess maybe LSU thought, since it happened someplace else, I don't know, that he would be available. So the news came as a surprise to LSU officials because they were not informed of the suspension until Wednesday. So they just thought
they didn't even know.
They just thought they're going to have their guy.
Wow, that's
LSU
surprising.
Didn't
there
know about it?
That out on the information that they like that yeah. kind of information. That's kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
Yeah, he was a part. He was on Houston's team last year. He was with the Cougs last year.
Did he fight Sam Brown?
No, Sam Brown had long been transferred to Miami.
Did he fight Manjack?
He fought a BYU player.
Okay.
And it was in their loss to BYU. And initially it wasn't supposed to be classified as an ejection, which would have led to a first-half suspension in his next game. But Clemson was like, excuse me, let's take a look.
Excuse me.
According to Brad, at least. I don't know if that's actually
well,
how
it went down. I'm looking right now. Brian Kelly still hasn't had clarification from the NCAA, but then it says he is LSU's A.J. Halsey is suspended for the first half. So I guess he did get the clarification. But didn't even know this was going on if you're LSU?
I didn't. No, I mean, that was a possibility?
Yeah.
That would be surprising.
You should probably
That's
know
surprising.
That.
So he was initially ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct, a penalty that wouldn't generally yield a suspension. However, officials clarified after the game that Halsey was ejected for fighting, which does result in a suspension. So it was on the books. Initially, it's something else, changed to suspension. So I guess that's where the confusion came from, because if you're watching the game, you just see unsportsmanlike. That doesn't lead to it. But I'm not sure how Clemson would have made this happen, considering it was already on the books. Maybe that's just LSU fan paranoia.
Well, maybe. But LSU, obviously, Brian Kelly didn't know about it. Now we find out. We're waiting for clarification.
I mean, he's only out for the first half. It's not the end of the world, but it is a big game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was scheduled to be their starting safety, but if you're out, if you thought you had your starting safety in prep, and then it turns out,
I mean,
you
how
don't
great
have
is that? A Clemson reporter snitched on him and got him in trouble.
Yeah, I don't like. We don't know the backstory, but if that happened, that just speaks to the
here's
levels that
says.
The reporter would get involved, not the actual team itself.
Here's what it says. I'm reading it right now, and. The whole thing started at 10:46 a.m. on August 28th when David Hood of TigerNet.com posted the following discovery. Doing research and found out starting safety A.J. Halsey, who transferred from Houston, was ejected for fighting in the fourth quarter of the bowl game against BYU. I'm fairly certain he will have to sit first half of the game against Clemson. It completely unraveled from there. Rumors started swirling that Clemson went to the NCAA and or SEC and called for Halsey to be suspended. Those rumors have not been confirmed. But apparently, an ejection for fighting warrants a two-quarter suspension in the next regular season game. So that's why, you know, that would have happened. He was initially ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct. By the Big 12, the ruling was later clarified as fighting. Everybody forgot. Quote, we're practicing, preparing to play him, and we'll wait for further guidance, Brian Kelly said. And then Hood came flying in off the top rope. Now, TigerNet is Clemson TigerNet, obviously, not LSU Tiger. Kelly confirmed the suspension, saying he was that the NCAA upheld its ruling. But I guess that Clemson, I don't know if Clemson had if the Clemson fans site had something to do with it or not.
Well, like you said, the ruling was set that he wasn't available. LSU was unaware, so they were going to play him. Now, he's listed in their two deep, not a starter, but
how
a backup.
Do you not know? I don't get
So
that.
What happens if you play a suspended player? You forfeit a
Typically. Yeah. That's what happens in high school.
Yeah.
Well, so they're better off. That the
good
Clemson
news
yeah.
is that guy helped him.
Yeah, because if you're out there running that guy out there, it changes how the game is going to be called. Or at least at the end of the game, if you had happened to win, I don't know what they would do. Would they have done that to an SEC team? Like, I know Sankey probably would have tried to stop it, but we've never had it happen, but if you play a suspended player, are they taking the win off the board?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, but I guess LSU got saved by the Clemson reporter.
Yeah. That they didn't know it, though. That's kind of.
Well, Brian Kelly.
Well, Halsey probably just went, what? I forgot.
I'm sure.
I forgot about that.
I know nothing.
Most players by college, most NFL players by college, who has the most players in the NFL?
Ohio State?
Nope.
LSU, it must be.
Alabama.
Oh, well, yeah,
Alabama's
that makes
got 63. Georgia has 61. Ohio State, 59. LSU, 46. Cougs got 13. So, Texas has 42.
No,
which is more than I would
higher than I would have thought. Yeah, because
they went
there for a while.
Small, yeah,
there for a while wasn't good.
Wasn't good at all. So that your team 37, Dell. 37. Miami's got 37 guys in the league. Lance has got Underdog Fantasy.
I've got Underdog Fantasy, and I'm happy to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. It's a great site. It's a great app. Download the app today. Download the app and use promo code Lance. When you download the Underdog Fantasy app and use promo code Lance, what they're going to do on your first deposit, well, it's not on your first deposit. You'll make your deposit, and then when you play your first $5, you are going to get a bonus of $50 in funds absolutely free. They just drop that into your account. It's pretty sweet. They put it in my account. And so what happens is now you can use that to play their pick'em challenges. So you look at the statistics for a player, pro and college. I'll give you an example. If you're going up against, if you got a wide receiver that you know is going to be facing Derek Stingley, you might want to look at that player to go lower on his receptions or lower on his yards. Conversely, if you are looking at a team that's really not very good from a passing standpoint, pass defense standpoint, you might want to look for higher on the wide receiver statistics. I would jump in personally on Brian Thomas, wide receiver for Jacksonville, go higher on his numbers earlier in the season when they come out, because I think on a weekly basis he's going to be a really big, effective player this year at the wide receiver spot. Do your homework, and with your homework and your knowledge comes a chance to make real money by playing Underdog Fantasy and going higher or lower on their pick'em challenges and ladders and streaks and all the great features that they offer. It's really cool. They find creative ways for you to make money and use your sports knowledge. So while you're watching the games, you're playing along with the games. It's Underdog Fantasy. Download the app, as I mentioned. Use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older in present state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.com.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
All right, welcome back here live from the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Look who's on the line, Uncle Freddy. You think Uncle Freddy doesn't love it? Uncle Freddy loves it.
He loves it here, but you know what I bet he's talking about? And I don't know this for a fact. Tay-Tay.
Oh, I know. How about that?
Taylor Swift, girl got
he thought
got
he had
engaged.
Freddie thought he had a chance.
No, he's just a Swiftie.
Even though, he's married with Tracy.
Yeah, nah, he's just a Swiftie.
He probably
She wants more kids. He doesn't need more kids.
Well, would you
He not? Doesn't need more marriages.
Listen, you'd accommodate.
Freddie's locked in on marriages.
Yeah, but you'd accommodate for that money.
Well, fair.
Yeah, okay. All right, you want more kids? That's fine. But I don't think you're not getting divorced, are you, Freddie, for Taylor Swift, because now she's taken, right?
No, I was going to say she was at the game yesterday, Cincinnati and Nebraska. Yeah. She was supporting Travis. And no, it's the first time we've talked since her engagement. Pretty big deal, pretty big news. I also had two new grandkids, so I'm up to 8 grandkids now. So,
holy crap.
Kind of
crazy.
Crap, dude. That is awesome. Congratulations. But,
no,
you're the best.
But Lance, grandkids are but the Lance, best. Lance hit the nail on the head on the marriages. I'm done with marriages. 3's enough. But I got the perfect one now, so I can't complain. But now this Taylor Travis deal is kind of crazy. Imagine that prenup. That's got to be a crazy prenup that Travis is going to have to sign. A guy who's worth $70 million has to sign a prenup.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But
and you know
no,
what?
I think
so.
No, absolutely, but I'm pretty happy. I'm excited about it. I played cards with Renee last night. He told me to tell you hi, John. I don't know if y'all know this, but Golf Crest is hosting, like, the Women's Live next weekend. So,
oh, really? There's a women? Okay,
yeah,
wait a minute. This is a breaking story. There's a Women's Live?
Yeah, it's called the PIF. Aramco is the host, the big Saudi event. They have thrown in so much money into the club. It's incredible, but yeah, the Women's Live will be there September 4th through the 6th. Prize money's $2 million. They offered Nelly Korda $500,000 for an appearance fee, but she turned it down.
Well, good for her.
So they have not taken all the women's players, though, I guess.
I didn't know it existed.
I mean, yeah, I didn't either.
Honestly,
yep.
I didn't know there was a Women's Live until it came to – since it's coming to Golf Crest. That's how I've learned everything about it. But it's a big deal. They've thrown a lot of money at the club, so it's a good thing for Carolina and for Houston down here. So, well, y'all
well,
go win some money down there. Go Astros. Go Texans.
Yeah. Congratulations to Golf Crest. Get on down there if you want to see. I don't know who's playing if you want to know the truth, but you can check it out. The Women's Live at Golf Crest with Renee. Well, that's our guy, Renee. He's a great guy. 713-780-3776. If you want to talk about Taylor Swift, you're more than welcome to get in.
Are you, though?
Yeah.
Are you more than welcome to come on this show if you want to talk Taylor Swift?
We just did, right? What,
kind
Uncle
of.
Freddy's got a monopoly well,
we
on gave, Taylor
Swift? Well, that was it. We got our quota in.
That's it? One Taylor Swift call? No. I mean, the Swifties are out there, Lance, and they want it. They got some stuff to say.
By the way, I got some really good news for you.
What is it?
I talked to my guy and your guy, Michael, from Pete's Fine Meats.
Uh-huh.
Sounded great. This is a guy who's beat cancer twice. He had a broken bone. His back has been so bad, he's been out on a – and he was bedridden. Then he was on a walker. Now he's on a cane. He's working again.
That's
he's
awesome.
Back in Pete's Fine Meats.
Well, you know he's
so, I was killing him not to be there, but Michael is doing so much better. He sounds great. If you know him, if you've ever been to Pete's Fine Meats or whatever, get in, get your Labor Day. So he's got – you know what he said? He had a guy buy a pig from him and a cow, half a pig and a cow from him yesterday. I said, what do you mean? He goes, he bought a whole cow. We have to literally – we're butchering the whole cow, all the steak that comes with it. He said, we're doing the whole thing for him and half a pig. But he said, I put everything on sale. You and John come in, get something, you know, for Labor Day stuff. He goes, we got it on sale, so you get great prices. So our guy, I'm really happy. This is one of the best guys. He's a great, great dude, and he has fought through so many medical. I mean, he got in there. They thought they were going to put a 3-inch rod in his back and ended up having to be a 7-inch rod. He couldn't even have the surgery on his back. Then they found a broken bone in his back they didn't know he had. Then he had to take shots every single day to strengthen his bones so that they could actually do a surgery, because they said it would be like, you know, like paper towels. It would just rip, and his whole backbone would rip to shreds if they tried to have a surgery. So he had to take those shots. I mean, I've never seen someone get through more pain and more agony than this guy.
No.
And I'm including when he had to fight cancer two different times. So, yeah, really happy for – he's just a really good guy. Good guy. And been a friend for a long time. So stop in. Say hi to him if you've been there. Dustin, I know some of you guys go in on a semi-regular basis. He usually works early. I'm going to go see him on Saturday. Me and my family are going to go say hi to him. But if you get a chance, go say hi to – oh, have you had the Buffalo hot dogs, by the way?
No.
On my kids, the best hot dogs you'll ever have.
Really?
The Buffalo hot dogs are phenomenal. Phenomenal. Highly recommend.
The city or the animal?
No, the animal.
The animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not foot long dogs, but they're like, you know, they're the longer hot dogs, and they are tremendous. My kids absolutely love them. Sebastian ate five of them the other day. Five. He's you know that whole thing where you have the high schooler, like you had it with John Tyler, where they eat you at a house and home.
Oh my God. Really?
Alec wasn't really like that. Mason basically just sneaks fast food and hides it in his room and behind the air conditioner and stuff like that. Sebastian now is eating. He had five Buffalo hot dogs. The other day he had three hamburgers. Like he's 138 pounds, and he is eating like he has a tapeworm now. It's insane.
That's awesome. Now, my Ma, you all used to.
I'm sure JT used to murder it.
I'd rather clothe you than feed you. That's what my Ma used to say that all the time about me.
And she's not an Italian woman, but she was cooking Italian food.
Oh yes, well she had Italian in her. Anyway, it's time to talk a little bit right now about cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, all right? If you're looking for the best way to sell – listen, you don't think that there were some Coors Lights flying here yesterday?
I do.
Okay, and the night before? When I get here, I just can't – well, it doesn't matter where I am. I'm going to go back to Houston today, and there'll be Coors Lights flying there too. It just doesn't matter where you are. You need cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. You need the world's most refreshing beer. Keep Texas chill, all right? Texas is hot, and we need to keep it chill. Why would you drink that motor oil beer instead of being refreshed? That's ridiculous. If you're looking for the best way to get that to be refreshed with cold, clean, crisp, make sure that you got it on hand for when your boys come over. Make sure that the bar you go to has it on hand. You're looking for the best beer, to me, in the world. There's only one way to go. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to John and Lance, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you at the DraftKings Sportsbook in Lake Charles. We are running out of time here, boys. We only got an hour and 10 minutes or so left to hang out here at the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Speak for yourself. I get to luxuriate for plus hours.
Yeah.
Me and Sean will take you till noon enjoying all the things that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer.
And I'm going up in the room afterwards and just going to go get in the bath and just soak.
In the bath?
Just so I feel pretty.
Soak?
Yeah, I'm going to go make myself feel pretty.
Did you bring a bath bomb, too?
Yeah, that's right.
They got a beautiful bathtub in the middle of the floor. It's really neat. If you get a chance
candles from the shop to light?
Not yet. I'm waiting for it to open.
Okay.
That's what Andre Ware does. He takes his candles on the road and he takes.
No, he doesn't. Nice, yes, he You're does. Saying that like you know that for a fact.
Yeah, everybody knows that. He talked about it on the air. They talk about it.
Okay, let's go through this.
You don't believe
Trey
it, huh?
has candles for a bath.
He likes to bring candles. Yeah, he brings a heater into the booths because it's cold.
Well, I mean, I can see
he does not like to be cold. I can tell you that. And he brought. Well, I don't know if he still.
If he got traded to Green Bay, he just quits.
He just what?
If he got traded to Green Bay, like Micah Parsons.
Oh no, he quit.
He just retires.
Green Bay for Micah. I feel bad for Micah Parsons.
I don't.
Okay.
It's fine for how long? When does it really get cold? When is it really? Because remember, he played at Penn State, but their football was pretty much over by November. You know,
yeah,
late November, and he only played what? Did he play 1 year?
Oh, well, he always had to get ready for bowl games.
A couple years.
Well, was he there though? His last year?
I think he played a couple years there. Right? He wasn't just a 1 year. He wasn't a transfer.
No, well, you have to live there, but not really.
Well, he had to be there 3 years.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he had to live through the winters there.
1 year. I don't know that he played. Did he play the COVID year?
I'll look it up.
I don't know.
No, he didn't play COVID year.
Yeah, he didn't play COVID year.
He was at Penn State from 18 to 20.
Yeah, didn't play the last year.
So two seasons.
Yeah, but he didn't, like, play in cold, cold.
But he had to live in winters in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but that's different than going out and playing to me.
Yeah, but I thought the living part of it was a bigger issue where he's.
Well, living sucks. Living cold weather sucks,
at least
I would assume. I don't know. I've only lived in Louisiana and Houston. I've only lived in almost Houston the entire time, and then just, you know, a couple of years, a few years mixed in Louisiana. None of that's cold.
Well, ask John what it's like to live in Green Bay.
John will never move back to cold weather because
it's the worst experience you could possibly have, okay? It's terrible.
But what if you were making $47 million a year? Would it be a little better?
It would be
a little better.
A little better. You can, with 47
you could heat
mil.
The floors in every room in your house.
I mean, it'd be
better.
You could do a lot of stuff.
Trust
with 47
me.
Million.
Micah Parsons is going to be living a completely different existence. Well, than John was.
So Brett, that's true. Well, yeah, to an extent,
completely.
But there's nothing.
And
in what way? Where's he going out?
Well, first off, the house will be great, much better than John had.
Yeah, Brett Cullerman made this point. Like, this is a house you can buy in Dallas for this much money, and this is a house you can buy in Green Bay. And I'm thinking, who cares?
No, I'm copying what, it you to gotta... what John's house was in Green Bay, not the houses in Dallas.
Well, yeah.
I don't know his personal situation, but he can fly up anyone he wants at any time that he wants.
Yeah, but nobody
for
wants
anything
to go there.
That he wants.
You can fly people up, they don't want to go.
I'm not talking about his friends. I'm talking about what
you
fly people up for.
Shaving a mustache live on TV.
Well, I mean, he's had that mustache every morning on this show, and people have been giving him a business. It's an ESPN anchor. I forget his name. I don't remember his name.
Randy Scott.
Yeah.
Or
is that his name?
Yeah, it's like Randy.
Anyway, the other dude is shaving it. It's
not great.
It's not a good look for either of them.
I'm going to have my head shaved on the radio.
Who's going to do it?
You got a much tighter look than you had before.
At least, I'm coming. I'm going Josh Pate.
You are?
Oh, yeah. I'm going Josh Pate, or at least Jason Statham.
You need to be a little more defined to go Josh Pate on this.
Jason Statham.
Are you
going to lifting? I'm getting.
You going to couple the head shaving with the gym as well? I mean, get the look.
I like gym work. More high reps, more low weights, high reps.
I feel like we're a little bit away from you trying to pull off the Dylan Raiola Mahomes thing with Pate. I feel like you want to do that.
It is.
I said Jason Statham.
Your baby Pate.
Yeah.
Jason Statham.
I think he wants to be baby
Statham. Statham is what I'm doing. I'm probably going to go with the one.
I mean, you.
The
I
one
don't.
Guard all the way. I mean, if I'm not going to go in the John direction of Linville, I got to go the other way. As Mason says, come home.
Yeah, come home.
That's what it's called, come home. Yeah. I'm like, why is it called come home? That's just what it's called.
And it's where you belong.
I've heard other people say come home. I'm not a black guy. It doesn't just work automatically for me. Name a black guy that's ever had his head shaved. You thought that's terrible. You should have kept hair. Nobody. No. Everyone looks like, oh, man, that's
it
a good look. Who's that over there on TV with? Isaiah Stanback's had a big thing.
I don't know if you heard. You're not a black guy.
That's what I hear.
There was a thing.
White guys, it's very dangerous. You got to see what your head looks like.
The Fab Five did it for aesthetics. They all had hair.
I told my wife, she goes, is that a really big deal? I said, it was a huge deal for all of them to shave their heads.
Young dudes all had hair, and you can see them today. They all have their hair, and they did it because it was for the look.
Yeah.
Now it's a completely different thing. Yes. Yeah. Come home is what
they're
saying.
Yeah, Michael Chin worked for Michael Chiklis or whatever his name is.
When did he have hair?
I'm sure he had hair at some point.
Do you remember what it looked like?
Then he shaved
it. I never knew him before he had.
That's probably more than, you know, Jason Statham. I saw Jason Statham, actually, in L.A.
You did?
He's a wee fella.
Oh, no. He's like most actors
and
rappers.
He's wee.
For some reason, most actors and rappers are wee.
Yeah. And so I don't know that he's
now,
wee.
He's ripped.
I don't.
You know he was a diver. You've seen that video,
that
right?
He's your comp.
It's my comp.
It's not your comp.
I wouldn't go with Statham either.
Yeah. Huh?
Statham. No, a little less action.
Chiklis is more.
No, I'm not doing Chiklis. I'm not going Michael Chiklis.
Okay.
I'm going
Jason Statham.
That's not good for you. You don't want to strive for that. You're not spending the time in the gym to be Pate.
I'm getting there.
No chance.
Yesterday I went in, they have a nice.
Aren't you throwing frisbees? That's not in the gym.
That's part of it. That's the cardio angle.
I don't know.
We got to find a more.
I did this yesterday in the gym here. You ever been to the gym here?
No.
It's nice. It's a good gym.
I'd much rather be
well,
in
it's a gym. It's
room.
A.
I'd much rather be doing this.
You can do both.
Firing my cards out.
You can do both. And then I walked outside 3 miles yesterday, get a little sweat in. It's not hard to.
I did three miles worth of Coors Lights.
You're going to pay the price at some
point. They don't measure Coors Light drinking in miles.
I do. I measure
miles on your liver.
Miles per hour. Okay, how fast they can go.
Miles on your liver.
Yeah, is that how you measure it?
He's going to have a liver transplant.
That's fine. Let's go.
Let's go. Give me a liver transplant.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I don't care.
I mean, I've heard of kidney transplants, but is John going to be on a list for liver transplants? Like,
but
I'm
they,
on a list.
Don't they have to they rank your lifestyle and when they decide who gets one? He's not going to be on a list forever. He's not going to convince him that he's going to stop drinking. They're never going to give him a liver.
They're never going to give him a liver.
No.
Yeah. No. Give me a good one.
He'll have an iron liver.
I can ruin that one.
They have an iron lung, right? Do they make iron livers?
I don't think they do that anymore.
They absolutely should.
Do they do iron livers?
I don't know that they do iron livers. I just don't think he's going to be able to get on the donor list. That's all.
No. They're going to be like, for what?
For who?
For what?
Why we do this?
So why are we going to waste it on you?
Somebody who needs a good liver.
It's
not this guy. It's the liver of a 17-year-old girl who unfortunately, you know, had this happen. And it's just such a spry young.
A big wake-up call for that liver.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what the real life.
It's just this liver's not going to be able to. Is immediately going to just be shocked into submission. You're going to be sick in a hospital bed. What happened? Your liver's rejecting everything that you're doing.
All right, we got
your new liver.
9 o'clock, top of the hour, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Five star on the other side, giving us winners. Let's